It is Wednesday night. It's 7:30, and that means it's time for Dirt World with Joe and Billy. You guys ready to roll?
No, not really, man. I had a mouthful there. But
yeah, it's just teenage wasteland, you know what I mean?
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon, or good evening, rather, Jack Smith and everybody on RealRacingUSA.com. It is indeed a pleasure to be on board with you for our Wednesday night installment of the most listened to, the most talked about, the highest rated motorsports talk show of its kind, we feel, on the internet. It's Dirt World, everybody, with Billy the Kid. I'm Joe Dirt. Billy, we didn't get to finish our dinner.
Man, we're having, it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
Yeah, I'm brought to you by DiGiorno tonight, anyway.
We got a big show on tap. Like we said last week, we're going to try to hit the, we got six champions at Volusia Speedway Park, but tonight we'll take time with three of them. First out the gate will be Sean Daugherty, the sportsman champion, which he had wrapped up more than a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago. Then after that, we'll talk to Big Mac, Charlie McNichol, the modified champion. And then a little bit after 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Richard Ferry.
Two-time modified champion.
That's him, that's Charlie McNichol.
Unbelievable. And what he was able to overcome this season, a lot of adversity, and finally able to nail down that championship. But like you said, Richard Ferry, young man in his own right, that has certainly made a name and a mark for himself over the past couple of seasons racing in this late model. Everybody knows his dad, Dickie Ferry. A widely known driver in the state of Florida. Richard did his time with the NASCAR Slim Jim All-Pro Series several years ago, some 10 years ago, and finally found his way to the dirt. But a very, very hard-fought and definitely earned a championship for Richard this year.
And, you know, this we have three of them tonight in no particular order, and the reason why we have them three is because I don't have the number to get a hold of Danny Lund. I don't have a number to get a hold of Charlie Stass after hours. And I think next week we'll cover them two guys and Alan Peacock, you know, next Wednesday night.
Right. Of course, the Dirt Track World Championship on the national level, that's coming up this weekend at Chillicothe, Ohio. Of course, that's KC Raceway. And the two-time champion, Shannon Babb, the Moequa Missile out of Moequa, Illinois. We had him trying to get him on the air tonight, but I woke up this morning and it all just came to me that racing tonight is the Southern Showdown at the Dirt Track at Lowe's.
Yeah, this was a show they had planned for everybody's like, what, a Wednesday night? Well, last night they did a rain makeup in Fayetteville, North Carolina. They did a rain makeup that happened back in August, August 15th. It was a Friday night. They were supposed to run there and then turn around and run at Screven on that Saturday. Got rained out. Got to the B mains on Friday night. Got rained out. But last night's winner, Josh Richard, started 18th in the field. He actually won one of them B mains and started 18th and won the show. And to be honest with you, if you've never been to this little place, it is very tough to pass at Fayetteville. And I was kind of shocked when I saw that he started 18th. Sugar Shane started third, finished second.
Had Shane on the program just a couple of installments ago. So those two drivers found themselves earlier in the season. I think they were at Red River Valley or somewhere.
Yeah.
And they had a little tussle between them. And we actually talked to Shane Clanton about that. And that was very interesting. But that's one driver we haven't not had on yet was Kid Rocket.
We could probably nail down Kid here down the stretch. We'll get him on the show one night. They got a lot of big things coming up. You got tonight at Charlotte. You got this weekend the Dirt Track World Championships at Chillicothe, like you said. And at the end of the month, you got the World Finals at Charlotte. So there's a lot of racing still going on for them guys.
Absolutely. And before we get into our champions, tonight we're calling it our Champions Night program here on Dirt World. Just a few little notes for you. We want you to be a part of the program, folks, tonight. It's easy to do that. Simply email us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Very simple, folks. dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Let us know you're listening with us here tonight. And if you have a question or perhaps a comment, and
question
you'd like
for either one of them three guys.
Absolutely. And you can just gladly chime in, and we update that every few seconds. But
well, you know,
want you to be a part of it.
We were talking right before the show, Joe. I mean, if everybody's here is mostly a part of dirt racing or asphalt racing as well. And we were talking about the deal this past weekend at Woodstock, Georgia, at Dixie, with the Lucas Oil Series. You know, kind of a controversy thing happened. Jimmy Owens was leading the race, and Scott Bloomer got into him a little bit. Jimmy Owens spun, and Bloomer, they felt stopped on the track, but never did. After watching replay later, they put them both to the tail. And, you know, I just want to say, from being an official standpoint, there's a lot of times that you don't see things. You know, people, I know when you tell somebody you didn't see it, most of them don't believe you. But, you know, like I said here and said last month, when two guys are running side by side, that's usually what I'm watching, whether they're leading, whether it's first and second, 10th or 11th, 14th, 15th. 15th, 16th. I try to watch that because you want to try to see who touched who. You know, and to be honest with you, the way that dirt racing is so competitive, usually they're 2x2 most all the way through the field.
If the racetrack is conducive to that, that's what we want to see as a spectator, for
right.
sure.
So there's going to be times that you are going to miss stuff, and I don't think people understand that. I don't think people have to realize that. There's 24 guys in a field or 18 to 20 cars or whatever every Saturday night or every Friday night. There's a lot of guys. There's more than two cars. If there's only two cars, I won't miss this. You know what I'm saying?
Of course not,
but,
and you shouldn't.
But when you have a boatload of cars, you know, a lot of people don't watch the races like I do. I watch all the way through the field. That coming from a flagman standpoint, that's what I try to do. I try to watch everything. If there's going to be times that you're going to miss something, you know, and that's when you depend on spotters or people to help. But, you know, sometimes they don't see it either, or they do see it, but they're afraid to make you know, say what went down.
Big problem.
You know, that's me. I mean, I will tell you this. I'll be honest with you. When I was flagging, I would count cars. Now, you sit over and say, what do you mean you count cars? Well, during Dirt Car Nationals, they put all these big haulers in the infield, and there's a chance you can't see the whole back straightaway, okay? So what I do is, I know there's 24 cars. I count them two at a time when they come out of the blind spot. If only 23 cars came out, guess where he's sitting?
Yeah, down on the bottom of turn two.
Thank you. So, I mean, and don't get me wrong, you can be confused, and hell, I've had people tell me I'm confused anyway. But you can be confused, especially if you're counting cars, and you're counting laps, and you're working lap traffic. It all builds up at one time. You know, drivers got to understand, Joe, if you're a driver, you're racing neck and neck with Shannon Babb for the lead. Meanwhile, Kid Rocket and Scott Blomquist and Jimmy Owen are running side by side for fifth. All their three wide. What am I watching?
Yeah.
I'm going to miss something here.
That's right. Same from an announcer standpoint,
right.
Billy. I mean, it's not as official what I'm seeing.
Right.
What you're seeing as a race director
right.
and a starter is very official.
Right.
You must see that.
Right.
I'm just seeing it to gather my own information. And then, of course, convey that to the fans.
But to be honest with you, and I will say, and I don't care who's listening. I've asked you numerous times.
Yes.
You know, and I take
yes, you have.
If you tell me you've seen something, I take your word for it.
And
bud.
You know, you sure do. And you guys, you do realize I am not an official.
Oh,
however, you have asked me more times
right.
than once that, hey, what did you see?
Right.
And I'll tell you.
Okay.
Now, Saturday night, we get past 12 o'clock out there, and I turn into pretty much a monster. This is a demon, no pun intended, that I have to deal with. And there was a situation, and I'm not even going to get into it, but you and I kind of got at each other's throat. And for anybody that perhaps was listening to that or saw that or heard that, I think BJ kind of looked at me like, what in the blue heck is going on? BJ, this is my brother right here I'm sitting next to, and it was over.
Well, they don't understand that, you know. When this goes down, it's gonna, you know, it doesn't. When it's over, when the conversation stops, it's done. People got to understand that. But
that's
you
right.
know, that's all I'm saying.
No,
and this deal with this deal at Dixie, they put Bloomer to the tail. And I noticed yesterday that Lucas Oil put out a statement saying that they made the call at the time that they felt was the right call. Their officials thought that his car stopped, and after further review of the video. Of course, you can't go back and change it now.
Simply put, let me ask you, if it wasn't Scott Blomquist, would there have been a statement? No.
Yeah, I don't know that there would, but I think once you get everybody involved and people start asking questions, I think that's the right thing to do is put up a statement. You see what I'm saying? I agree with you, but you got to understand, you're talking about Scott Blomquist here,
that's right.
Who is the greatest late model dirt racer in the history of dirt.
Without question.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, all I was saying was from an official standpoint, I'm sure people have been reading that on the Internet. You know, you're not going to get everyone right, but as long as you do the best to get them all the same or try to be the best about it, I don't see where anybody could be upset.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With that, let me just welcome a couple of new listeners that I do believe are listening in tonight on RealRacingUSA.com, a loyal, longtime fan of Volusia Speedway Park. The guy does not miss a weekend. He did this weekend, and Grady Dawson.
He was a little bit under the weather or
yep.
ill or
had
something.
Some elective surgery. Now, let me tell you what a fan he is, Billy. He actually had this elective surgery scheduled for 2 weeks ago when we rained out. Or, I'm sorry. He had it scheduled for
after
when
the,
we were, after the rain out, when we were off.
After the season was over.
Exactly.
So that way he wouldn't miss the last night.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. He had the surgery. Things kind of got a little touch and go for him. With the blood, I had to get some blood and everything. But bottom line is, he's home.
Hey, that's what you told me today. He was at home.
It.
That's great. I'm glad he's at home. Yep. You know, and we miss him out of the track. I mean, you have certain people that you see every week, and And when they're not there, you always think the worst. But, you know, some people got to have breaks, too. But I'm glad Grady's doing good. And
the best thing about it, we did our fan loyalty reward program. This enabled 9 different fans, after they get their loyalty reward card stamped every week, 9 different fans were eligible to win a night of their choice for 2 people to any of the nights of the 2009 Alltel Dirt Car Nationals. Grady won one of those nights.
You know, I think that was an awesome program, and I really think it's awesome for one reason. You know how many times we talk to drivers, and they say they don't go to Dirt Car Nationals?
I know. Grady's never been.
Because it's $35 and $45 a head.
Sure,
and
many of them
can't afford it.
Many of them have never seen the transformation.
I ain't going to tell you no lies. I mean, I'm going to be flat out honest, and I know you've done it a couple of times, too. I used to give my ticket away.
Oh, sure.
I ain't gonna tell you no lies.
Oh, of course. I mean, you want to help.
And I give it the drivers who supported the track.
Sure.
Remember, we used to see them walking around out there when they have the souvenir row out front.
Yes.
All the racing stuff like Victory Speed Shop.
Mr. Peacock, my friend.
Yeah.
Our street stock champion did it for him about 3 years ago.
Yep. You see, they're up there and they're shopping at Simpson or they're shopping at Victory Speed Shop. Or they're just looking, and you ask them, "Hey, you going in tonight?" No. There you go.
Isn't that something?
You know, and hey, if they call us and get rid of us, I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, we just supported the ones that supported us all year long. But for that to happen, and you ask these people, I mean, I don't know how many times we've asked Grady, you guys coming into work, you know, to the Dirt Car Nationals? No. Guess what? Now they are. And I bet you what happens is they'll come once this year for free. They'll come again for the week.
Sure they will. Sure they will.
The worst thing they could do is pick an early night because they're going to come again. It's going to cost them money because they're going to come again. That's going to be if it's me, I pick the last damn night, so I ain't got to spend all that cash.
Yeah, well, I try to tell them, you know, if they've never been, you know, I give them my selfish choice, and that would be a late model night, you know, one of the World of Outlaws, or even a UMP Super night. That's what I give them, and they could see some modifieds as well, maybe. But any night's good.
If you had a choice, let's put this question out there. If you had a choice and you had one night you could choose from, what would it be?
During the Dirt Car Nationals?
Somebody email us. Let me ask you a question. Would you use your choice up to see Steve Kinser if you've never seen him before?
Or
would you use your choice up to see the finest late models in the country? We really can't say Bloomer because we don't know that.
Would you use your choice to see perhaps the big blocks with Brett Hearn?
Brett Hearn. That was my next thing.
I mean, come on.
I mean, 2 years ago on a Tuesday, this was the most awesome thing. 103 late models.
Yeah, man.
103.
Yep.
Shannon Babb.
Oh, yeah.
Starts 18th.
Yep.
Wins the race. 30 laps.
Phenomenal.
5,000 to win, 30 laps. Come underneath the white flag for me. He started 18th. The Thriller Miller started 20th. Guess who would have won if we'd win? If we'd have ran 35 laps, the Thriller Miller would have won.
That's right. He did win one of those nights, too.
Awesome.
Yep.
So, congratulations to the winners. I guarantee you, if you use your ticket early in the week, you're going to spend money later in the week, but whatever you do, enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Speaking of enjoying himself, we certainly enjoyed having B.J. Cavan and his lovely wife with us out at Volusia this weekend. B.J. enjoyed a grandstand seat. Of course, I don't know, I kind of got most of the program done, and I said, B.J., come on up here and give me a hand. And, buddy, he grabbed that microphone, and he just had an amazing time out there, and I'm so glad he was able to come out and help us. And, B.J., I'll be going to Ocala Friday. Didn't even tell you this yet.
Oh.
I always say I'm going, but I never go. I'm going to Ocala Friday. So I will come up, and maybe you can return that, B.J. We're going to crank up that PA at Ocala, no doubt.
Yeah, the thing about it people have to understand is that you guys work good together, and then, like, Saturday, I thought it was it's not my call, but I thought it was a great thing that you invited him back because the night he was on cover for you, it got rained out, and just the extended hand, I don't think that happens enough.
It really doesn't.
You know, I'll be honest with you.
You're right.
I don't think it happens enough. And I think, you know, there was a lot of people from Ocala there Saturday night. There was a lot of people.
Hey, I saw Larry, and yeah. I didn't see. I think he got there late.
They all got there late. Ian, one of the tow truck drivers, and his brother Dennis, they're all of them there. All of them was hanging out and having a wonderful time, just enjoying themselves. And I even seen the Mack Tool guy.
Did you?
Takes his Mack Tool truck to Ocala Speedway on Friday.
Yep,
he's
yep.
standing right below me on the window, tapped up on the window and waved.
Nice.
So, you know, it's good to see. Everybody wants to, hey, and if you came to Volusia Speedway Park on Saturday.
Oh, man.
You were rewarded. Race cars.
That's right. You were rewarded. This is one of the nights that I feel so proud to be a part of that racetrack. And I got to be quite honest with you. This season, those nights have been kind of few and far between for me personally.
Right.
But for me, I just had a whale of a time, and I was proud to be a part of that racetrack.
Well, just from talking to racers and you talk to them, the economy is not only bad for us, it's bad for them.
Sure is.
You know, a lot of the racers have their own businesses. You know, they're working, man. And you got to understand, when you take effect in the pocket, that racing sometimes has to be put aside. And I think that's what happens most and most, and that's what people, I think people got. And plus, let me be honest with you, it's hotter than hell in the summertime.
Oh, it's brutal.
So let's face it, now the sun's going down a little bit sooner, and sitting in the aluminum grandstands in the middle of the heat ain't good. Good crowd Saturday night, too. I think
really
you'll see that pick up in a lot of the racetracks around. I think you'll see the shows, some of the shows that are going on, it gets cooler for them. And don't be, I'll be honest, the heat takes effect on a lot of people, too. So.
Sure it does. Tell you what, the time is taking effect on us. It is just about 15 minutes until 8 o'clock. We are going to step back just for a moment. And in the meantime, we will grab our first guest tonight, our sportsman champion, checking in out of DeLeon Springs, Florida. When we come back, it's Sean Doherty on Dirt World. Dirt World!
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
Dirt World, you're one of the best. You've got them four abreast, often imitated, never duplicated. The greatest show on dirt, the advanced auto parts world of outlaws.
No matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt. Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Dirt World. Take it away, guys.
This is actually live on RealRacingUSA.com, and we are certainly glad to be back with you. And as promised, our 2008 Sportsman Champion, a driver checking in out of DeLeon Springs, Florida, with, of course, my good friend Billy the Kid. I'm Joe Dirt, and we've got Sean Doherty. Sean, thanks for being with us, buddy.
Welcome.
Sean, I'll tell you, just an amazing season for you. Again, you put your nose to the grindstone out there, and, of course, you did this with very minimal wins. You didn't visit victory lane nearly as many times as you wanted to, but you were able to solidify this championship some 2 weeks before the points officially ended. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it's just, you know, being there every week and top two, top three finishes every week, and just I got ahead of a lot of the other guys just because of that. I mean, I was pretty consistent in the top three. I just didn't get the wins that I wanted. There's some tough competition out there.
Yeah, there really is. And, of course, the insurgence of this tough competition, these young kids. I mean, you got the Garrett Stewart came out, this Corey Holly. These kids came out, I mean, just gunning for you, man. And they were able to find victory lane quite a bit. But, you know, at the end of the night, I mean, points are points. And you committed yourself to racing for this championship when you begun the season. And that's exactly what you were able to do. So, you had to put up with a tough racetrack more times than not. I mean, let's face it, Sean. I mean, they struggled with that track this year.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard on equipment. Hard to come back week in and week out with a rough racetrack or weather making it rough, whatever the case might be. And you've got to race the racetrack. But more often this year, I race the racetrack more than I race my competitors because of the conditions that we had. But it worked out, and it, you know, and them kids, you know, that Garrett Stewart, he's a good racer. He raced me clean. Corey Holly raced me clean. They're tough, and they want to get her done, and quite honestly, they were better than I was on several nights, especially Corey Holly. They just didn't race the full season, or I probably would have been second, and Corey would have outrun me. But, you know, that's the way it goes. You know, I just like racing. I want the points because I started out and just want to race every week, you know.
If I'm not badly mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't you a former street stock champion as well?
Yeah, it was hobby stocks back then, 2006. The last year I ran hobby stocks, I won that championship also.
So you have to be among an elite group here that's not only going to be, you're going to be a two-time champ, or you are a two-time champ, but you've got one in the hobby stock division and now the sportsman division. That's got to feel good to you.
Yeah, it does feel good. It's just, it's kind of the same this year as it was back then. I won a few more races back then, but also I was racing a lot. I won't say a lot stiffer competition, but right. there was 10 or 12 hobby stocks back then could win on any given night.
Yeah, it's a little different. Year, I mean, the class was different. You're right.
You weren't there,
but the sportsman class now is there's four or five every week that can win, and it's the same four or five that's in the top five position. And there's a few stragglers that come in and out. Still, you're back to the same thing. It's hard. It's hard to stay on. I stay on top. It's hard to be consistent and stay consistent.
Speaking of a few stragglers, I heard you finished second twice this year, I think, to David Clegg. So when you say about the competition coming in and stragglers coming in, man, to finish second to David Clegg is still a huge thing, because when that car hits the racetrack, it's pretty tough.
Oh yeah. David's a good competitor. He's got good equipment. I finished second to, I think, Shane twice too. You
right.
know, Shane Williams was driving Mr. Jim's car, but
right.
and either one of those two guys, anytime you can run with them
right.
guys, you're doing something. And I mean, I wanted to outrun them, and I did outrun Shane one night, but I haven't had the chance to outrun David just yet. But that's just, you know, that only makes you better. I mean, I don't want to, you know, you got to race against better people to get better.
Later on here in the year, you actually started driving the 05 car for
Dan Lane.
Yeah, for Dan Lane from Essex Seafood, and you know, that seems to be a pretty good relationship you and him have going there. Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, he had you know, he his son moved back up north, and the car was just sitting there, and I got hooked up with him. I said he wanted to go race, and I said, let's go race a little bit. That car was built 3 years ago, and they never really had no driver for it since his son moved. It was just sitting at home, and I drove for him when he first built the car over at Ocala when it was asphalt. We went over there and run it a couple times, and it never really got a fair shakedown. So we've been racing it the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it's working out. Just, I mean, I know the car's 3 years old. We're just trying to get the bugs worked out of it. And there again, I've just, with another car, the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've ran second and third with this and almost won one night. The racetrack conditions got me, but that's okay. Corey Holly was better than I was. You know, he got through the same bump that I didn't. Hats off to him. But it's, with Mr. Lane, I like to, you know, thank him and his wife and all. It's a pretty good deal, and we're going to continue to race a few more races throughout the year and see what happens next year.
They're good people, man. When I saw you pull the car in there, and we talked about it during the week about that deal, they're good people. And I mean, to see him, even when he comes in the racetrack with you, you can see he's much more excited than he seemed like he was when he was racing. You know, not saying that he is or he ain't, but just the look on his face is like, you know, he's there. You know, he's having a good time with it. And I think he listens to you when you say that you think the car needs this or the car needs that. He listens to you because he knows from your experience. I mean, let's talk about it. You've knocked them down in the hobby stock class, and you've knocked them down in the sportsman class. And you've had your sportsman a couple of years, but I think this is really the first year that you've ever sat down and decided that you won the points race. So he knows what he's got in the driver there, Sean. I mean, and I think that's a good thing between you and him.
Yeah, it is. It's a three-way deal. You know, Dan owns everything, and I had to work on it and race it with him. And then Woody at Bemco Fabrication built the car, and Woody's taken a liking to me. And pretty much any time I go racing somewhere, he goes with me to help or just to be there, be part of it.
Yeah,
and
that's the next thing I was going to talk about.
Right.
It works out good. I mean, I got some good people on my side, not many, but a few. You know, my wife and daughter put up with a lot for me to do this, but they like it. And then, you know, Woody goes, he's helped a lot of people. I mean, he's helped Mike Cope, Gary St. Amant, Mike Eddy, all them guys from the old ASA days. And, you know, for him to load up in the truck with me and go to a little old Saturday night show down the street, whether it's at Volusia or Ocala or Putnam or Lake City or Brunswick, wherever we go, he enjoys it and have fun. And, you know, that means a lot to me because he ain't going to help just somebody that don't know what's going on. So,
well, give yourself a little credit, too, man. I mean, you're a good little wheel man there.
Yeah, I've helped a lot of good people over the years, and it helped me materialize, I guess, into the driver that I am, because I learned real quick helping other people that tear their stuff up.
Right.
You can't go faster, and if you tear your car up this week, you can't go faster next week because you're fixing it to get back where you were when you tore it up.
That's right. If you are listening to us live on RealRacingUSA.com, we're talking to the two-time champion, once in a street stock and now, of course, in a sportsman, the driver out of DeLand, Florida. We're talking, of course, to Sean Doherty. So if you'd like to ask Sean a question, feel free to do that at DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. And, Sean, we've got a question from the email for you. Ocala is arranging a sportsman race October 17th. First time ever for these race cars on that dirt. Do you plan on going up there?
Yeah, I'm going up there. I'm not sure which car I'm taking. I'm either going to take my car or the 05 car, which belongs to Mr. Lane. But I'm definitely going to be there.
And talking Saturday night to a couple of people, and I'll tell you, man, and disagree with me if you can, but Ocala appears to be a perfect sportsman racetrack for that division.
Yeah. I ran my old hobby stuff. I sold a fellow over. I ran it over. I like the track. You know, I just like the race. It's a good little track. A lot of people don't like it. So there's no room on it to race. Turn four is the only spot that gets tight with me. Any other part of the racetrack, I can race 2-3 wide on it. I did it in the hobby stock, and I'll do it this weekend if I have to in the sportsman.
Yeah, we're talking about that sportsman deal, the 17th, and you know, that's going to be a good show on Friday night. It's going to pay $1,000 to win, and a lot of you sportsman guy were asking about renting a racetrack. I tried to call Mike today, but probably tomorrow or something, get a hold of me and get the number to the racetrack or call the racetrack and try to set that up. I know there's a lot of the sportsman guys who are talking about doing it, but, you know, this is something that Ocala Speedway put together, and I think, you know, me and you talked about it. It's going to be good for the sportsman drivers and for the fans because for the first time they're going to get to see them. Now, I know in the practice sessions they had at the beginning of the year, a lot of sportsman cars went over there in practice.
Right.
And that's why a lot of them have the input that they have. Hey, how come we can't run there? So, you know, I think it'll be a good thing. It's the end of the season for everybody, so you go there, give it all a go. 1,000 to win.
Sean, we're racing the Full Fender Frenzy this weekend, and I'm sure you'll dust off one of them race cars and be with us.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. At the moment, I'm probably going to run one of these two sportsmans in the late model class up there and use it as a test session.
Good deal. Good deal.
I don't have, unless I find me another ride between now and then, that's probably what I'm going to do.
You know, I think you're going to see a lot of drivers do that, kind of change divisions.
Of
course, you're aligned with David Clegg. You're aligned with a lot of different drivers out there. You work well with them. So you're going to see that Saturday night, you know, non-winners race, so to speak. And you're going to see drivers strapping into another division. I think that's cool.
Yeah, you know, I just like being on the racetrack. practice is practice. I don't care where you're at or what you're in. You learn more and more, and driving this other car has helped me figure some stuff out for my car that I was complaining about. But we'll get it figured out and see what we can do. I think we've got 3 or 4 more races between now and Christmas coming up that pay decent money we're going to try to go get.
Good deal. Good deal. You are certainly able to do that. You know, we missed you Saturday night. I know you had another obligation, but you missed a beautifully prepared racetrack, Sean, and a track that you would certainly appreciate. So I certainly hope we can get it in that condition for you this Saturday.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I ain't raced on a real smooth racetrack in a while. It's been quite rough throughout the summer. Maybe they'll get that straightened out over the winter, and we can have a better racetrack next year.
No doubt about it. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Congratulations from all of us, certainly here at Dirt World, on just an amazing accomplishment, able to get that done. And I look forward to seeing you on December 9th in the Daytona 500 room at our banquet, my man.
I think that's December 6th.
Okay, whatever. I was going to be a little late.
You'd be a little late. Make sure you're on time.
I'm telling you. Sean Doherty, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us tonight on Dirt World.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right,
congratulations.
All right.
Thank you.
And with that, it is the top of the hour, 8 o'clock, 30 more minutes. Two more guests to go already lined up here on Dirt World. thank all of you for hanging in there with us. Once again, email us, Grady, at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Grady called me and said, man, I'm trying to email you. Simple to do, man. dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. We'll be right back with our next guest on Dirt World.
Big Mac. Big Charlie Magnuson.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes of America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Hello, I'm Frank Bartles, and this here's my partner, James Brown. As the weather starts getting too hot, we hope you will reach for one of these. New Van James Brown Wine Cooler.
It tastes good.
They come in three funky flavors. Gravity Grape.
Get down.
Crime of Passion Fruit.
Oh, Timothy.
And my personal favorite, Papaya.
Papaya's got a brand new bag.
It'll get you off faster than a big city lawyer.
Woo!
And a single pack serves 6 to 10. Just like James.
New Bartles and James Brown Wine Coolers. The cooler cooler, made in the cooler.
Now behind bars everywhere.
And thank you for your support.
No matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt. Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
Hi, welcome back to this edition of Dirt World, and turn things back over to Joe and Billy.
Took a little break. Actually took a little jog.
All right.
Well, you ain't jogged. I've never seen you jog.
Well, you let me finish.
All right, I'm sorry.
Took a little jog, and as I was running around the corner, I ran into Charlie McNichols. I thought I'd bring him on to the show with us. What's going on, Big Mac?
Not much. I'm still trying to come down from the shock of seeing you jog. I don't think I ever had to deal with that before.
Why you got to go there for?
Oh, my.
Charlie McNichol, what a season you had, man. We had you on the program on Monday night. We talked about the ups and the downs of the season you had, and what you told us was, I'm just struggling to stay above water here, you know. Wouldn't even talk about a championship, didn't even lean towards a championship, was more looking to get through the season on both feet. Man, what a turnaround it was on Saturday night. You were crowned the 2008 UMP Mod Champion of Lucius Billy Park. Talk about it some, bud.
Well, Billy, I tell you, it was kind of a little bit of a case of better luck than good. You know, we had a pretty decent first half of the season, a lot of bad luck and some crashes and mechanical failures and just bad stuff that's going to eventually catch up with you racing. And then towards the end of the year, we started finishing more, but we kind of seemed to have fallen off the pace. I don't really know that we got any slower, but it seems like everybody else started to get a lot faster. So we kind of had a rough last half of the season. We had a motor blow up that was really something that hurt us a lot. We had to really struggle to even make it back from that, let alone to be able to compete and to be fast. So, you know, it was a decent year. Certainly not as convincing as last year, but I'll take it any way I can get it, you know.
Well, you found yourself Saturday night. Actually, you've been known for 2 weeks now. And I really don't know, but the difference between first and second going into Saturday night. I mean, talk about it. I talked to one driver this past week that said he ain't slept in 3 days. Would you be in the defending champion last year? You didn't go through that, did you?
Oh, yeah, I did. I tell you, it was killer because I had got myself all psyched up, and I was nervous and ready to go 2 weeks ago, and then we had a rain out. So then I had to spend another 2 weeks sitting here shaking and thinking about it, you know, got another 2 weeks to sit and think about it for. And it was, you know, I was a nervous wreck getting in the car before the feature. I was trying to put my race receiver together, put the battery in it, put the headphones in, and my hands were shaking, and I couldn't, you know, get everything right. Even being the defending champion, when you have something that's coming down to the wire that way, and that was, you know, really down to the last lap. I mean, it was, you know, the whole race I was really riding on edge and heart pounded and everything. So, you know, yeah, it was a nervous deal. But I dealt with it the best I could and just tried to get through it, and it turned out pretty good.
Man, the adversity that you overcame this season, and quite frankly, I pretty much hung you guys up. I'm thinking there's no way. Here their motor is done. Kevin did all he could. Of course, you campaigned diligently to pick up any kind of financial help. This is midway through the season to try to pick up some sponsorship, and you did everything. You did above and beyond what a normal promoter or, of course, a marketing man would do for a race team, and you were able to, you know, kind of rally people around you. You gathered a lot of people. They got together, got this motor in there after borrowing an engine, after driving backup cars.
Joe, Charles O'Neill's car one week.
Yeah, I mean, these are backup, borrowed race cars from O'Neill. I mean, it's just amazing what you were able to overcome, Charlie. And I think at that point of the season, I mean, with your positive attitude, you had to be kind of doubting things as well, weren't you?
Absolutely, Joe. I tell you, this is really a miracle. It's you know, the whole season I had spent telling myself it just wasn't meant to be, it's just not going to happen, you know, you just got to accept it and move on, and, you know, was trying not to think about it, and, you know, it's just absolutely a miracle that we were able to come through this with this amount of success. You know, I had joked, I must have driven the most race cars anybody's ever drove and won a championship. You know, it took me 3 race cars to get to this point. I had to borrow I drove Chuck Gustafson's car one night and Charles O'Neill's car one night, and, they really helped me out there, and I couldn't have done it without them. And, you know, there's just a ton of people that have allowed this to continue. You know, it really, we shouldn't be where we are, but thanks for a lot of clinch decisions and clinch help, we've been able to pull through and turn this into a positive season when it really had the everything was trying to make it a negative one.
We're talking to Charlie McNichol, a young man that began at Volusia Speedway Park in the 4-cylinder division, moved into a hobby stock couple seasons after that, now finds himself a 2-time champion in the UMP-sanctioned modified division. If you'd like to ask Charlie a question, email us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. And Charlie, from the email, DNR Racing, Denise and Randy Straley, and of course Dalton, they all congratulate you on this accomplishment this year. They just wanted to kind of put that out on the email. So congratulations all around.
Well, I'd like to thank the Straley family very much for that. You know, like I said, it's just, I mean, it's a miracle. We weren't necessarily the most deserving of it. I don't know that we are necessarily the most consistently fast car out there. We just got out there and drove and kept a level head on my shoulders, and we had a lot of consistency, good finishes near the end of the year. You know, I'd wish we could have visited Victory Lane a few more times, but given all the negative karma that seemed to come attack us this season, I couldn't have asked for a better result than this.
Boy, it really did. And, you know, you talked about just how much this gets into your mind and how it affects your personal life and, you know, hard to sleep and, you know, other things that start to happen. Charlie, I know you want to move up. You want to advance your racing career. Are you prepared to subject yourself to this again next season?
Oh, absolutely, Joe, if I could.
That's what I wanted to hear.
You know, We're struggling financially. I don't know if we're going to be able to make it back next year. It's not looking very good at the moment. But certainly if I can find some way to make it back out to the racetrack, whether it be in somebody else's car or if a sponsor steps up and helps us out, or it's the best stress in the world is dealing with this race car stuff. So absolutely, if I have the opportunity, I will certainly be back trying for it again.
Did this with Holly Bluff Marina and DeLand Auto Parts on board, and just wanted to throw that in there.
Somebody on the rear quarter panel, I don't know the name of the company, but it says sponsor needed.
Yeah, what sponsored by Social Security a couple years ago.
What company is that?
Yeah, who is that?
They got the whole rear quarter panel. It says sponsor needed. They must give up a good little chunk of money.
Oh, yeah, we got the Send Help is what it's on the back of the
Yeah, that's right.
Send Help.
I love it.
Send Help.
SOS.
No doubt.
You know, talking about, you know, earlier in the season, we saw you get in Rick Friend's hobby stock car and race, and you were running real good with that thing. Any chance we might see you in something different this Saturday night?
Well, I haven't worked anything out at the moment. I would certainly love to be. I'm a racer to the core. Anytime I can get into anything and be out on the racetrack, I'm going to do it.
so I haven't worked out anything yet, but I certainly would love to be there. I'll be there watching regardless, but if I can find my way, any way to finagle myself into a race car, I'm certainly going to do that.
Speaking of watching, Charlie, we got a couple of people in the grandstands, and this young man was unable to be with us Saturday night, but he is indeed a loyal fan, and I know if you saw his face, you'd know him the times that you've come over to the grandstand side for whatever reason. But Grady Dawson and his lovely wife, Denise, they're listening to the program tonight. They just wanted to say hello and congratulations to, of course, Sean Doherty and you, Charlie McNichol. They're big fans, and the big Steve Oldacre fans, I mean the biggest, but I've seen him stand up a time or two when you're wheeling that thing on three wheels around the racetrack. So just some congratulations from some spectators, too.
Yeah, it's great to have fans like that. We couldn't put on a show without them, and I'd like to tell Grady to get well soon, and thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. You know, the fans are what makes this business. We couldn't be out there racing. The track couldn't stay open. It couldn't take place without them. So we certainly appreciate all their support.
Well, one last thing, and we'll let you go. I know you already mentioned them two or three times, but you can never tell them thanks enough. Tell us who helped you get to this deal.
Oh, there's so many people, Billy. Mainly Rick and Judy Armstrong at Holly Bluff Marina. Kevin Mobley with the Land Auto Parts. Alan Scott is a fan who has helped us out some. Chuck Gustafson let me drive his car. Charles O'Neill let me drive his car. There's a ton of people. Those are the main ones. If I'm forgetting anybody, I'm sorry. It's been certainly a large group effort, and it's taken a lot of support from a lot of different people to get us to this point.
Well, I'll help you understand. If you don't say thanks to your dad when you hang up the phone, he's about to put his foot in your can, bud. Huh?
Yeah, you probably got a point there, so thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. I love what you did.
Last year at the banquet.
I love it. Yeah, my neck there.
I love what you did at the banquet back in 2007, man, and you know, to thank your dad and take us through that. I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to top that this year, man. That was great.
I tell you, I've been thinking about it ever since I knew we were in contention for a championship. I know I got to pull out something that's going to top that, but I don't know what I'm going to do.
That's going to be
figure
tough,
something
man.
Out special.
That's going to be hard. I saw you walking up there with the flashlight and the roll of paper. I was like, what's this guy fixing to do?
It was great.
It was just an absolutely by chance thing. You know, I hadn't put any thought into that, and then I was getting ready to leave the house for the banquet, and I walked by that big flashlight sitting on the shelf, and I thought, you know, that ought to be a good idea if I could take that with me up there. And it was. So now I've had all year to try to think about something better to top that, and I haven't come up with anything yet, but I'm sure I'll figure something out neat to do.
What a great supporter you got in your dad there, man, and he supports you 100%. I know we've talked a bunch about it, and don't let it fool you. He's just as happy as you are, my friend.
Yeah, he's pretty good about not letting on what's going on.
That's true. He's very stoic when it comes to that.
But I'm sure he's got to be just as thrilled as I am, if not more.
If I was him, I wouldn't carry that Carl Edwards hat every time, though. I'd throw that thing on the ground until you pick it up.
Charlie McNichol, two-time modified champion consecutively in the UMP-sanctioned dirt car racing ranks at Volusia Speedway Park, 2007 and now 2008. You are certainly on the career track, young man, and we thank you for your time here tonight. And look forward to seeing you before the banquet, certainly out at Volusia Speedway Park or wherever we might kind of bump into each other at a racetrack.
Well, like I said, I'm sure I'll be out there watching, even if I can't find a ride, and maybe I'll be lucky enough to get in something and drive this weekend. And so I'll see you guys there.
Very well.
Congratulations again, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Holly Bluff Marina, Kevin Mobley at DeLand Auto Parts, Rick and Judy Armstrong with Holly Bluff worked so hard to get this young man where he's at. His dad... you communicate with his dad quite frequently. You've got a good personal relationship with him. And the inside ins and outs of what has happened to these people this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you sit back and you look at it, and like you said, he started out in a mini stock. His dad used to own a business that bought parts from me, and that's how we met. And, you know, they're really great people. I mean, to see they go through what they went through and to come out on the top. We know we had him on the Monday night show, and he told us there was a possibility he wouldn't be back before the year's end. And, we had a guest that was listening, another racer, and the racer called me the next day and said, "Hey, man, they can drive my car."
He was on the ropes, Billy. Let me tell you, man. He really was.
For them to come back, I mean, I know that I'm sure Jamie Carter finished second. I really don't know. That's something I don't really follow is the points deal. But
no, he was officially second.
Jamie Carter had a tough year as well. I mean, he went through a couple race cars.
He wrecked a couple,
some adversity.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest with you, this is a big deal. I mean, the UMP guys that get locked into this deal and they run for it. But to see guys go through what they went through over the season and to see see how it turned out, it's really not as bad as people think.
not at all. Certainly a congratulations from all of us here at Dirt World. And we are wrapping up our 2008 Volusia Speedway Park Champions program for the night. Look for an Ocala Champions night as well coming up very soon when you guys complete your point season. We look forward to bringing everybody that here on Dirt World. And when we come back, our final champion in the DeLand or the Daytona Dodge Chrysler late models, Richard Ferry, right here on Dirt World.
Be right back.
Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding high.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, "You there, you're wearing my underpants."
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
This is Shaw Smith, driver of the 17 SS Dirt Late Model, Central Sheds and Trailers Champion for 2007, and you're listening to Inside Florida Racing.
Welcome back to Dirt World Live.
Thank you so much, Jack, and welcome everybody back to Dirt World here on Wednesday night for our Wednesday night motorsports talk show as we highlight the champions of the 2008 racing season at Volusia Speedway Park with Billy the Kid. I'm Joe Dirt. Welcome back, everybody, on RealRacingUSA.com. And as promised, as we wind down our Wednesday night program, checking in from way up in North Florida, right around McClenny, I think that's Baker County, the 2008 late model champion, doing it, not visiting Victory Lane, the United Racing Supply Fast Lane Graphics Redneck Products Country Boy Rub, sponsored number 7 of Richard Ferry. Richard, thanks for being with us, buddy.
I appreciate you having me.
It is definitely a pleasure. Richard, you we talked off air just moments ago, and you know, you certainly are excited about this championship, but you feel you might have left something on the table doing this without visiting Victory Lane. I would think as a spectator, you know, at this level, that would make it a little more sweeter. Really not the case for you, though.
We did win one race this season, but, you know, it just, we were competitive week in, week out, but, you know, it's probably the worst year I've had since I started racing as far as winning. And so, you know, I kind of set that bar high every year, and I just feel like I kind of left some on the table this year with that.
Yeah, I mean, I take that back, of course. I beg your pardon. One race, you're exactly right. That was a big night for you, but, I mean, you committed yourself just like all the champions. You came out of the box knowing early on, you know, in April that, hey, I'm racing for a championship, and you accomplished that. And I think that says a lot at that racetrack.
Yeah, it does. You know, I think David Clegg said in his interview Saturday night, you know, there was 13 or 14 different winners this year.
13. He makes the – actually, yeah, 13 because he'd already won once, but there's 13 different winners.
13 winners, you know, week in and week out, there's probably at least eight or nine cars that's capable of winning week in and week out there. And then you have, you know, Johnny Collins or Ivan Lloyd or somebody like that show up. You know, definitely capable of winning any night they show up, and it's tough to win down there.
So you started out the season, and you decided you'd make the trip every week, and you know I know some part halfway through or a quarter way through you're a little upset. I mean, you went through the same track conditions that everybody else did. It was a little rough here, a little rough there. And, you know, you tore a lot of stuff up, and you hung in there, man. You know, we talked a few times, and I think the one night we had you on our Monday night show, you said you didn't know what was going to happen, and whether you guys were even going to, you know, even though you were leading the championship or you were running second at the time, you didn't know if you were going to stick around, and you did. And I mean, it paid off for you. You fought through adversity, and you came out on top. Like you said, you only won once, and I know as a driver's standpoint, when you get to the track, you want to win every time you go there. That's what you go there for. You go there to win. And then everything just fell together, and next thing you know, you're up and holding on to this points lead. But even leading the points down the stretch, you were looking at not wanting to come back. You were going to just drop it right there and do some other things. But, you know, you're driving for a different car owner, and I think he wanted to win it. Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, when we had a couple of situations there, I decided, you know, I was tired of making the trip. You know, with the economy like it was, fuel prices like they were, it made more sense to race closer to the house. And with the track conditions, you know, we were spending money every week fixing the car from, you know, bent ball joints, bent A-frame, stuff that, you know, not crashing, but just from track conditions. And the car owner, he made the decision, hey, you know, I feel like if we leave now, we're giving this championship away, not saying that we were going to win it from that point, but we were leading the point. And, you know, I'm just like anybody else. You know, if the car owner wants to do something, if he wants to go here or there or whatever, I'm along for the ride.
Right.
Hey, Richard, talk about that relationship. It obviously has grown here for the 2008 season. Have you guys talked about 2009 and perhaps, you know, putting things together with the same situation?
As of right now, I mean, we're in the process of selling the equipment that we have now to get new equipment. And we haven't sat down and discussed what our plans are as far as where we're going to race or anything like that. But as far as I know, I'm in the ride again for next year and hopefully years to come. Mr. Scruggs has been real good to me and taking good care of me for the last 3 years, and you know, I kind of feel like he's part of the family, and I hope he feels the same way, which I think he does. And you know, whatever he wants to do is fine with me.
And you give a good account of yourself out there. I remember Richard talking about you say this is your worst season. I'm going to disagree with that. I know Billy will. I mean, because man, you get up on the wheel, but I remember, I don't know if it was last year or the year before.
Well, last year you won two or three times.
Yeah, but you finished second probably, you know, just about every
night out
there.
That was
this year.
That was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, last year and this year.
Last year you had so many seconds, and this year, of course, the bridesmaid again. And I really try not to coin that phrase to you, but it was so difficult seeing so many times second. You were so close. And, you know, you talk about the track conditions, and for all intents and purposes, they were difficult. I know they were. It was very difficult year for you drivers. I can only imagine financially, mechanically, what you guys have gone through. But to be able to finish second and put yourself in those positions and run up front like you did, man, what a testimonial to you and Mr. Scruggs.
Yeah, I mean, he buys good quality equipment. I mean, I don't go to the racetrack worrying about, you know, the equipment. We have good engines. We have good chassis. Every piece there, you know, is good quality stuff. And you know, that's the least of my worries. But when you go somewhere with the track, you know, conditions like they were, and you know, that's beyond our control with the pieces that we buy. And that, you know, I think that's one reason we, you know, finished the championship out like we did, was the stuff that we had was standing up to it, other than, you know, bent ball joints and A-frames, which is still drivable. It makes it a little tougher to drive, but you know, we finished races and we finished up front consistently.
I know that this is probably really nobody's concern, but you don't give me a total dollar amount, but just rattle off some of the expenses it costs you to come to race every Saturday. So the people that are listening, I know most of them that are listening are racers, but what about the fans that are listening? You know, and if they want to add it up on their own, let them add it up. But just rattle off some.
Yeah, some components that it takes.
The
every
fuel
week
for the truck to get there, the fuel of the race. If you got to buy tires. You know, you always bring 7, 8, 10, 9, 10 people with you. Talk to us a little bit. Talk, you know, rattle off some numbers here, bud, so they understand.
I'm afraid to sit down and really figure what it costs. I know I did for you one day when I was mad. I talked to you about it. But, you know, I mean, it's $200 a trip to go to Volusia from here every time we leave the house, just fuel for the truck, which is, I have a big truck. I mean, that's my choice to have that, and it may be cheaper with some other vehicles, but I feel that's well money spent on that truck that we have.
Right.
And, you know, like, say, pit passes.
How many people you bring with you?
You know, there's at least six or seven with us every night. Here the last probably 2 months of the season, my sister and her family came, so that's another four. You know, probably the last 2 months of the season, I'd be safe to say there was at least 10 to 12 people with us every night.
Wow. So
give you the benefit of the doubt and say 10.
What's that?
So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and say 10. Keep going. Fuel for the race car.
And fuel for the race car, which I'm lucky, VP Race Fuel, they supply me with the fuel, so that don't cost a whole bunch. They give us a certain amount of years. So
but if you had to pay for it, give us a number.
Yeah, if I had to pay for it, you're, you know, look at $9, $10 a gallon. We burn, you know, probably 10 gallons a night.
Wow.
Tires, you know, depends on which tires. We, you know, we have the choice of the LM20s and 40s, which are $177 a piece, or the D21 and D55, which you can still buy for $140 a piece, which is my choice of tire. But, you know, at least every 2 weeks, we were buying at least one tire, possibly two.
Wow.
So, I mean, it all adds up. You know, I like to say, I'd hate to actually sit down and see what we spent to win the championship.
And the difficult part, Richard, is the fact that, I mean, and this holds true for any racetrack on the local level, you're not getting back in your championship money anywhere close to what this has cost you. Not even close. As a matter of fact, you're probably just breaking even for one night of racing what you get in a championship.
One night, let me tell you, we'll just talk about this for a second. It was a Monday afternoon, maybe a Tuesday afternoon. I think me and you were on our way to trackside tonight, and I think that's when I got the call from Richard how he finished third on Saturday night, and it cost him $485 for parts.
Yeah,
so you had that $485 on top of what he spent.
Another $500.
Let me just help you for a second. This is just a rough guesstimate of what you just said, but all the numbers you just mentioned to me, and I give you the benefit of the doubt for the tires and went to $150, I'm at $700.
Yeah.
A night to race.
So the graphics business is good, right, Richard?
It could be better.
I hear you, man.
But that's just a rough estimate. Just I wanted the fans to understand that it, I mean, and I know they all know the same, but you got to figure it costs to come there.
Sure.
And it matters on how far you drive. I mean, it might be a little bit less for other guys that don't burn as much fuel, but you're still going to be around that number, maybe $100, maybe $175 less, but still you're around that big number to go racing now. It ain't free anymore.
We're probably the furthest north anybody comes on a weekly basis.
Right. I agree with that.
Well, it's 2 hours one way for us. And, I mean, I know there's some guys who live, you know, 25, 30 minutes from us that come regular, but not every week.
Right.
But, it's definitely, any way you go, any way you look at it, it's a two-hour trip one way.
Richard, you know, we're talking about the financial, you know, aspects of motorsports at your level, but very important to have sponsorship. Fastlane Graphics, of course, is your company. United Racing Supply, man, they've been involved with you and your dad for...
That's his dad.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the involvement there with that company has just been great over the years. But you brought on Redneck Racing Products. Now, talk about
Redneck Products.
Redneck Products, that's a great deal. I used that Country Boy rub on some chicken a couple of weeks ago.
Awesome, man.
How did you nail this guy, man? How'd this come down?
Well, Brad Rollerson is the owner of that company. He's been a family friend for years. He's right up the road in Georgia here, right across the state line from us. And he's been a friend for years, and he just recently started going to the races with a buddy of mine, and he cooks for them every week. And I was down helping them with their car one night, and he said, hey, why don't I start cooking for you? And, you know, he don't give us any money, but,
yeah,
you know,
better.
We have to eat, so that's just as good.
Hey, you got 10 people to go with you. If they save that money at a concession stand, think about it. It adds up, bud.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, we have to eat. We'd be spending money out of our pocket that way, and the food's awesome. I mean, we've got the best, you know, best food around as far as
amazing.
I'm concerned.
Richard, let me shift gears for a minute, and this is something I probably should have brought up earlier in the progression of your career, but and I know you've told us about this on Trackside tonight, but here for Dirt World, I remember the Slim Jim All-Pro days with the, you know, the late model effort, and of course your dad with his history. When did you actually make the transition to dirt? Because it seems it's been about 10 years now you've been out of that late model on the asphalt. When did the dirt thing come about?
Well, I actually, in 94, it was kind of a graduation present to me. I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina on graduation trip. My dad called and said, hey, if you want to drive the car this weekend, you know, come on home early. So me and about three buddies, we packed up on a Friday morning, and we were supposed to stay the whole weekend. We'd been there all week. We packed up on Friday morning to come to North Florida Speedway, which it's called now, and that's actually when I started. I run about 3 or 4 years on dirt before I went to asphalt.
Okay.
And we run asphalt up until 2001. We won the late model track championship at Columbia Motorsports.
Right.
And I got out of the car and told my dad, I said, look, this ain't fun anymore. I want to go back dirt racing. And we had a brand new Snow Brothers chassis here, just about ready to go for dirt anyway. So we sold the asphalt stuff and we went back dirt racing then in 2001.
You talk about Snow Brothers. I grew up in Gainesville and used to go to Columbia Motorsports Park every Saturday night and watch your dad wheel the blue and gold 17 around. There always said Snow Brothers on their quarter panel. And you start to see that more and more now. You start to see a lot of guys are getting these Snow Brother cars. I know Clegg got one this year, and just to hear the guys talk about them, I've been talking to Bo Allen a little bit, just to hear guys talk about Snow Brothers. And this is a pretty big thing up there, and I know they've been with you the whole time. And talk about that a little bit with the Snow Brothers, what they got going on.
Yeah, they've always been affiliated with my dad when he was racing, and they've helped my career a ton. I wouldn't be where I was at without them. You know, Mike and Denny Snow Brothers, they built an awesome car. The quality, you know, the workmanship there is second to none. And, you know, every week, one or the other is at the racetrack helping the guys. They don't, you ain't got to pick up a phone. Usually they're there with you. And
I've seen Denny a lot there this year.
Yeah, Denny's been just about every weekend there. And, you know, just a testament to them, you know, unfortunately, I'm not driving one of their cars right now, but they've helped me just as much with the car I do have as they would have if it was one of theirs.
That is cool.
You know, you talk about that. A lot of people have seen Snow Brothers on Ivanin's cars for a long time, but now you're starting to see, that's what I'm saying, you're starting to see more and more of them and the product they're turning out, and they're turning out winners. I mean, they to see them, and like you said, for them guys to show up at the track every Saturday, for Denny to be there every week. I know when the World 100, they went up there to be with Ivan and stuff like that. But, you know, that's what the sport around here needs, and it needs these guys. And talking to some of the drivers, like talking to Clegg, Clegg's happier than anything with his car. You know, I talked to Bo Allen a little bit. Bo's real happy with his car. It seems like there's not anybody that's unhappy. And like you said, you know, even though you're not driving one of their cars, but to you it might as well be. But, you know that. We've talked about it, and they would help you with anything tomorrow. But, you know, people don't understand what I'm trying to say is the Snow Bros haven't just been around a long time ago with your dad. They're still around today.
Yeah, and, I mean, as you've seen all year, their name's still on the side of my car no matter what I drive.
That's right. That's cool, man. That is cool. I think, are they on David Sugar's new car? Is that a Snow Bros? That's what I thought. Beautifully prepared race car. Richard Perry, it's always a pleasure talking to you and kind of getting into your world of late model racing. It's so interesting, man, and another quiet run to a championship out at Volusia Speedway Park. Our congratulations. And let me tell you, man, on December 6th, when you walk across that stage at Daytona, man, we are certainly going to be excited for you. And I definitely look forward to that time, man, as we officially crown you the 2008 late model champion.
Well, I appreciate it. I look forward to being down there with y'all, and I appreciate what y'all do for us.
It is really a pleasure having you on. Richard Ferry out of McClenny, Florida, the 2008 late model champion.
Congratulations, man. Thanks. We'll see you soon.
Appreciate it.
All right, Richard. Cool dude, man. Soft spoken.
Well, they're good people, man. They come from a long way, and a lot of people didn't realize, man. But it was over, dude. They weren't coming back. They weren't going.
I remember that.
And Mr. Scruggs said, "Well, we made it this far. Let's fight it out." And Richard told me exactly what he just said. That because Mr. Scruggs wants, he called me. We was on the way to show on a Monday night, and I couldn't get the phone away from my ear fast enough. He was just going at it. And, you know, what can I do? You know, and I just listened and I told him, I'm sorry, bud. I mean, it'll get better and things will get better. But you got to understand, like I told you, $485 to fix the car. And this is, I think what you said to me was, what wreck was he in?
Exactly, I did.
He was in the wreck he was driving.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, but he held it tough. And, I mean, knocked ball joints out of it, A-frames, busted up shock. I think he told me he went through like three or four right front shocks. Them things ain't cheap no more. But, you know, just add it up, and you could have missed the number here. Around $700 comes to the track on a Saturday night.
Sure.
And, I mean, I know everybody's in the same boat, and we're not saying it's one person, but think about all the drivers that drive from Jacksonville. Think about the drivers. I mean, everybody hauls. It costs everybody almost the same to get there, you know.
Right.
So to be competitive.
That's right. Hey, this Saturday night at Volusia Speedway Park, that is Saturday, October 11th. It is our Full Fender Frenzy. That's right, Full Fender Frenzy with late models, sportsmen, street stocks, mini stocks, pure stock, that's the four-cylinder division, and the debut of the V8 Thunder stocks that'll hopefully make the trip across the Ocala National Forest from Ocala Speedway. This is Saturday, October 11th. Plus, for the mini stocks, an enhanced purse brought to you by, of course, Dan Kerr and the gang, and Keith Briggs with Extreme Racing. So we're looking forward to that.
I think Saturday night is going to be a fun ordeal, like I told them at the driver's meeting on this past Saturday. We points race now. Your points race is going to be over after last week, and now you move on and have a little bit of fun. And you know, you don't want to cut the drivers out that have been winners, but you want to give somebody else a different chance. And I think, like I told them at the driver's meeting, you're allowed to come race. You just can't race in the class that you want it. So if you can find something to run this week, we'd love to have them all there. But, you know, you start falling off into stuff like this, and you want to get a fun, and I think it gets a lot of smiles back on the face of guys who've been running hard for every week. You know, every week guys have been racing hard for these points, and now you're going to go have a little bit of fun with them, and I think you'll see a lot more smiles there Saturday night, and I think it'll be a great thing for everybody.
Ocala Friday night. I'm going there, and let me tell you why I'm going. I'm going to, of course, enjoy myself, but I gotta get some Thunder stocks. I gotta go talk to these guys, and I gotta say, look, I know you gotta change your gear, okay? But you gotta come and race with us. I mean, that's why I'm going. So I'm gonna talk to these guys, Bill. What do you got going at Ocala?
Don't know. But you
full night of racing.
Call me stunned. I know the I know the modifieds are back on Friday. But other than that,
modified.
Look
okay.
At the schedule and see what else is going on.
Be a good program, but the V8 Thunder stocks will be in action, I do believe, and we're gonna go try to recruit them to Volusia.
I think once they get word of mouth, I think you'll get them to go. But you know, a lot of people got to understand Volusia is a big sweeping half mile, and if you tear something up there, you know, the things that we have to understand at Volusia, these guys that are locked in these points battles at Ocala might not make the trip, but you can't hold it against them because
that's right.
You know, some of our guys didn't make the trip there because they were locked in the points
right.
battles. So you know, I think with Ocala being the first year back to dirt, there's a lot of guys over there in points racing, especially in that Thunderstock class. So you know, I think if you talk to them, a lot of guys have asked me, when's Volusia going to run Thunderstock? So now's their opportunity.
There you go.
You know, we didn't run.
Just like sportsmen at Ocala.
Right. Last Friday, we didn't run Thunderstocks at Ocala, but they'll be there this Friday for sure. And I'm sure when they all, all it's going to take is for somebody to say something and be word of mouth, and you'll get as many of them as want to come over and run with you.
As always, we thank all of our guests here tonight, Sean Doherty, of course, Charlie McNichol, Richard Ferry, everybody checking in. On the email next week, we will get
Charlie Stats, Danny Lund, and Alan Peacock next
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
Be nice to get whoever wins the Charlotte race tonight. Maybe who wins the dirt track world championship this weekend.
We'll
nail
do
them down, too, and we try to have four guests next
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. We thank Grady and Denise Dawson, of course, DNR Racing, Denise Randy and Dalton Straley, BJ and everybody listening on RealRacingUSA.com tonight to Dirt World, to Dirt World. For Billy the Kid, I'm Joe Dirt, always a pleasure, and we'll see you at the racetrack.
See you at the racetrack. Get a little dirt on your dog.